Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. Happy Wednesday to us all. Got Evan in there on the board. Fancy Brian doing all the important engineering work. Evan, appreciate you helping out. And we're going to have a big show. I feel quite confident. I got a co-devil joining me soon. He is John Nichols from The Nation. And he's got a new piece that dropped. Rojo, Ron Johnson doesn't give a Adam Schiff about workers. We're going to tell you all about that. John Nichols, 330, co-Devlin. And you will be excited to know you could be a part of this big show once again. Phone lines open all day long. And I know what I'm saying, Chris, from Sudbury. So, you know, I get it right most of the time. Like 63% of the time, I get it right every time at 844-967-2789. Don't wait. Because John Nichols joining soon. We're going to talk about a lot of things. And perhaps one of the more important things, some breaking news at the Washington Post. And this really should come as no surprise to any of us at this late hour. But there is still some new January 6th stuff we didn't know about. I'm going to call this one. Crudy's headline would be, "Give me all your voting machines." That's the Rudy Giuliani. I paraphrase, but here is how the Washington Post is reporting it today. Oh, no, I got the, I can't get to the Post right now. Come on, man, I got the phones working. I got the computers working. I can't get to the Washington Post. I know I've got a subscription there, so that story may have to wait till later in the show. And if I can't go to the Post, I'm going to go to my old faithful. I'm going to go to the Raw story. So I'm taking you in a different direction, but a similar direction. I always knew I was getting there soon. Steve Bannon thinks that Donald Trump will be amongst the three worst presidents of all time. Steve Bannon's the guy that helped him become the president. Steve Bannon, the former campaign manager, the alleged former meth head from Florida, that guy, Steve Bannon, you know, he's a podcaster now. He's out on bail on criminal contempt of Congress charges. And apparently he's being extensively quoted in a new book. Well, you are a fair audience. You'll find this interesting. From the Raw story, I don't have to pay for a subscription there. Among the vignettes in the Jeremy Peters new book, Insurgency, is a story about Steve Bannon's revelation that former President Donald Trump didn't actually want to be president. Now, is that a big shocker? Do any of you think that, you know, he grew up as a little man saying, "I want to be president someday, Fred"? I don't think Trump really aspired to be president. Well, let's read more. According to Bannon, it was COVID and George Floyd that convinced him Trump only really wanted the Oval Office when it was fun. You know, he wants the upside of the presidency. Up until 2020, Trump was able to largely let the country run on autopilot, racking up debts. Well, that was depressing. Here's a quote. But Trump's inattentiveness to the pandemic alarmed Bannon. Even the alleged former meth head guy, Steve Bannon, he could be alarmed. How bad was it? And his response to George Floyd's death had him increasingly convinced that Trump had lost his mind, Peters wrote. He complained to colleagues that Trump didn't seem interested in his job. You know, it's not great when the president's got the workplace job complacency. Again, a quote. Being president and doing the job of president are two different things. He doesn't want to do the job of president of the United States. No, he just wanted to get out of jail free card, the pardon power, and, you know, all the extra stuff. The emoluments, all the stuff you could, you know, kind of trade your title and your position for perhaps fame and fortune. The grifting. He was in it for the grift. Again, from the Raw story, there was no way that Trump was going to rise to acclaim as Lincoln or Roosevelt did. Instead, Bannon said Trump would end up going down in history as one of the two or three worst presidents ever. It'll be James Buchanan, Donald Trump, and Millard Fillmore. Having run Trump's successful underdog bid 4 years earlier during its final weeks, Bannon was openly critical of how the new team was running the re-election campaign. Trump did not win in 2016. That's the one thing they never embraced and understood. Hillary Clinton lost. Trump did not win. That according to the quotes attributed to Steve Bannon. He was annoyed with top Trump aides showing the president fake poll numbers just to make him happy. Is that what they were doing? It was like showing Hitler fake armor divisions when the Reichstag was burning down, Bannon scoffed. And he was correct. That's exactly what they were doing. All the post-mortem books about Trump's final year convey the staff was so desperate to get the president to stop falling into fits of rage. They'd tell him he was improving in the Reno media market with seniors in Phoenix, Peters reported. One aide, they'd tell him he's up 17 points with left-handed redheads in Pennsylvania. So when it became clear that he'd lost, it's no surprise that he didn't believe it. Why would he if he spent the past 6 months being told they were winning? When it came to the president's advisors, Bannon didn't think much of them either. Now, he talks about Corey Lewandowski. You know the guy? Lewandowski is alleged to have, you know, roughed a few women up along the way. Apparently dated Hope Hicks. And there were also allegations denied by the governor of, what, South Dakota? Kristi Noem alleged to have romantically had an extramarital fling with Corey Lewandowski. Must be something, that guy. I bumped into him once in Cleveland outside the Winkin' Lizard on his way to the RNC. I didn't think much of the man, but anyways, here's what they say. Corey's the guy who wears the hats and buys the books. He said of Trump's first campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, he was like a cult follower. Oh yeah, that Corey. Roger Stone, Bannon called a effing flake. And none of the men were beneficial to what Trump needed to win, Bannon thought. Now, you can buy the new book. It's called Insurgency, and it's on sale now. Go buy a copy if you're so inclined. Won't be selling them here. We don't do books. Not yet, anyways. We do phone calls. We do the devil's advocates each and every weekday, and we're doing it from our new world headquarters. I'm looking out life, the window of knowledge. It's spread out before me here, Evan. I got all the world driving by right here on University Ave in Madison. Come by. Throw the horns. Give us a honk. Not too loud. Just a, you know, quick tap the horn. Quick honk. And the phone calls. They're back today. I mentioned that, right? 844-967-2789. So a couple of the stories of the day. The big stories. A, you know, not even Corey Lewandowski. Well, let's set aside Lewandowski. Steve Bannon did not hold his former boss in very high esteem. And did he get a pardon from the guy? I mean, am I wrong about that? He's now being quoted in books. The guy gave him a pardon. And he's still claiming the man's going to go down as one of the worst three presidents in history. And above and beyond, you know, sort of the bad press, the bad headlines he's given the dude. Bannon's, you know, above and beyond the legal troubles, the whole contempt of Congress, where he initially claimed he was, what, upholding executive privilege. But of course, that claim's been thrown out all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. 8-1, there's always Clarence Thomas. But this Bannon, you know, he's kind of all in on the January 6th insurrection. And Bannon, if you believe his own characterization, you know, he thinks he is the smartest guy in the room. You can tell that about every one of his comments. Oh, that next guy, that last guy, they were inferior, of course, to his greater intelligence, right? But it's going to be hard to claim ignorance when the prosecution start raining down. When you claim you're the smartest guy in the room, when you're putting out the strategery of what's happening on January 6th, at least in part, when you're colluding with the very same guy he's characterizing as what, a flake, an effing flake. Well, you guys were all, you had rooms up at the Willard Hotel in D.C., right? So I think strategically, I think ultimately, when all is said and done, Steve Bannon, the odd thing is, he was probably the mastermind. I mean, I cannot believe Rudy Giuliani is the mastermind of anything. He's not even the mastermind of his own domain. We know that from the Borat movie. But anyways, Steve Bannon probably is the brains of the operation. To my opinion, I'm just throwing out rampant speculation here on a Wednesday afternoon. But if he's the brains of the operation, and he doesn't believe in the man he's executing the coup plan for, the insurrection plan for, if that man shocks him with his inattentiveness, you know, to the duties of, let's say, being the president of the United States, then why is he doing it? I mean, what's the upside, even historically? You know, bad man, great cause. But what's the great cause? What is the great cause? If you do not believe in the man, and you know damn well, Steve Bannon, that your former boss didn't really want the job, letting the body stack up, the body count. Yeah, kind of depressing. Don't want to go into work today. Let's go golfing, right? That guy, that was your boss. And then you're... So, anyways, Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm not going to lead the Washington Post anymore. Not till I find my, you know, password, my login. It's somewhere. We moved. Did I mention we moved? Phone lines, they're working today. I mentioned that as well at least a couple times. 844-967-2789. Lots of hot topics. John Nichols coming soon. Your phone calls could be next.
Just give me all the bacon and eggs you have.